Greetings and welcome, everybody. Great American Golf is here. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. Thank you for joining Great American Golf. And as you know by now, Great American Golf and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show appears on the golfnewsnet.com. Golf Newsnet. That's right. Ryan Ballingy is the owner and purveyor of the Golf Newsnet. Upwards of 2 million golfers visit the Golf Newsnet site every month. And they have the television tab there. They have the radio tab there. And there are numerous shows. Mine appears there on TV, Match Play with Ray Adams. And then Great American Golf and the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. After a day or two, they go over to the big audio platforms where all of your music and podcast is. And however you listen, find Great American Golf. I know if you have an Apple phone, there's an actual podcast app that comes with it. Touch that, put in Great American Golf, and boom, all the shows will be there at the touch of a button. You won't have to go looking at all because they do go up to all the big platforms, iHeartRadio and Amazon, Apple, Pandora, Spotify, all of that. All right. I want to thank you again for joining us today. We're going to be looking at the playoffs. We're going to check in Memphis and see that leaderboard. We're going to have a look at what's happening with the U.S. Amateur. We're going to also talk a little bit about maybe certainly top five, six greatest golfers of all time, Ben Hogan, in just a few minutes, and Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, as well as Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America's historian emeritus, joining me in just a moment. Folks, did you know that the golf secret is hiding under your feet? That's right. The secret to golf is hiding under your feet. Squares Golf Shoes says that every swing starts with the ground. Well, I know that to be true because you want ground force reaction and you want to get more distance. And that's what Squares is. They're the distance shoe. They're the stable shoe, the balance shoe. Every swing starts with the ground. The more stable your foundation, the more consistent your swing can become. And where stability and distance begins, it begins with more ground connection. The patented Squares toe box allows your toes to spread naturally for a wider, more stable foot base. Well, there's 8 or 10 other things about Squares golf shoes that I can be talking to you about, and I will continue to do that as I have for years. So I want to thank squares.com. Make sure you get there and get your next piece of equipment, Squares golf shoes. While you're there, if you love pickleball, yes. Softball and baseball, yes. Squares has them there as well, squares.com. All right, gentlemen, where are we at in these playoffs, Craig? We're jumping right off into them, and we've got a big tournament in Memphis. Tell me about it. This is remember the old Danny Thomas?
Yes, different golf course, but same town, I believe.
Yeah. So what about that leaderboard and who do we like?
Well, it's the first round of the playoffs this year, I guess. Some people would consider last week because it gets you into it. Obviously, you got the top 70 players. You got Sungjae Im playing very, very well. You got Adam Scott playing well. Scottie Scheffler playing well. You got a lot of people. Jordan Spieth played well in the first round. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. So,
yeah, I thought that Jordan Spieth was really going to come back and maybe give us some thrills. He still plays like he's going to lose, but he figures out how to scramble. He certainly is a scrambler, and I mean, he thrills everybody. We love it. Thorburnson was doing well. Scottie Scheffler. So there's a lot of golf going on, and who knows where all this is going to end up. But we certainly will be doing the big wrap-up show on Monday. And Bob, let me go to you. Tell us again how these FedEx Cup playoffs pan out. We start with the top 70, and what happens?
Then it's trimmed to the low 50 at the end of this on Sunday in Memphis. And it's those 50 move on to the BMW Championship at Bellerive next week in St. Louis. And from that group in St. Louis, the top 30 move to Eastlake for the finals and the Tour Championship.
All right, Craig, back to you because you're a St. Louis man. Have you played Bellerive?
A few times, yes.
Tell us about Bellerive. We'll be looking forward a little. We'll come back and look at this leaderboard in a little bit, but looking forward, Craig, tell us a little bit about Bellerive.
The greatest fairways I've ever played on.
Why?
They're Zoysia fairways. They are the greatest fairways you can ever play. Tight Zoysia fairways are the greatest fairways you can play on. Long golf course, big greens, big bits. It's a big wide golf course. It's a Robert Trent Jones hosted the Open way back when. I believe it was Gary Player's first win, U.S. Open, I believe. It represents St. Louis well. They host an event there every once in a while. It's the one that seems to attract big property, lots of farmland out there. I've always enjoyed playing that golf course and the way they've upkept it and done. I have good memories of that.
Do you think they'll set the golf course up to make it even more difficult for that tournament for the playoffs, or is it going to be a birdie fest like the one we're looking at this week, the in Memphis?
I think, the challenge always in St. Louis and in the middle part of the country, whether it's Washington, D.C., or even this week in Memphis, and Memphis might be a little further south where they can do it, it is always the bent grass greens and stuff. I assume that's what Memphis has. And when it gets so hot, and it's really hot right now, that's the challenge of whether or not you can get the golf courses in the greens fast enough or you're going to lose them. So that's the challenge this time of year. I know it's really, really hot. I just talked to my mother's husband last night. He said it was going to be really, really hot. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I don't think they really care whether or not they toughen it up or don't toughen it up. I don't think the PGA Tour really cares right now. I would expect 16 to 20 under to probably win that event next week.
All right, back to the leaderboard. This golf course is playing pretty easy, isn't it, Bob?
Oh yeah,
I
it's
mean,
it.
66, 66, 70, 69, 69, 65s all over the place. I mean, it's just I mean, you can hardly see a 70 anywhere. It's all in the mid 60s, so this is the go low tournament. I guess the PGA Tour wants to set the golf course up. TPC Southwind. I don't know, Craig, have you ever been over there and played Southwind?
I've not. I've only driven through Memphis a little bit. I've never actually spent any time there. I haven't even
Yeah.
been to Graceland.
My dad was born in Memphis. I've been to Memphis a couple of times. I didn't play any golf there back in those years. I was a corporate young executive, and raising a very young family, but we did get to Memphis, and we looked around and had a little, we were on a little vacation, and we were traveling to some different states and cities. It's a beautiful city, and the people are all so nice. Southern hospitality.
Food's supposed to be perfect there, they said. It's
What?
great food. They said the food is great there.
Oh, of course the food is good there. Well, look. I mean, I don't know where you can go in America and not find great food. I mean, I haven't been to every state, but I've been to many, and I don't know. Yes, I've had a bad meal. I've had many bad meals. I've had a lot of bad food, but when you get into the South, you're in for some treats, and it could be just a little out of the way place that the locals go to and nobody else knows about, or it could be a, I don't know, a big well-known fancy restaurant. Kansas City, the greatest steaks maybe in the country. New York City, of course, a culinary giant. But everywhere, we have great food in Phoenix. We have average food. So, but you're right. Memphis is a very cool town. A lot of culture there. So I'm sure the players are enjoying being in Memphis. Sung J.M. Shooting a 66, 66, and they're going to have a little bit of a time with him. I don't think he's going anywhere. And Scottie Scheffler looming and looming. Bob, what do you make of it?
Well, this if Scottie Scheffler is back on his horse with his putting within the 12-foot range, I'd say he has a real good chance of being dominant for the next couple weeks if he can pull that off.
Yeah. And he talked about it. He said, if I can get back into my putting, then I can come back in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks. And that's what his plan is. And I think when he puts his mind to it, Craig, tell us about the putting. Why was Scottie Scheffler so dominant on the putting greens for so long? And then he woke up one day this year and it escaped him. It left him. Tell us about why does that happen to these great players, and what can we amateurs do? What can we learn from this?
Like I said, I don't think his putting has changed a whole lot. When you're talking about micro differences in the game, he's not hitting it quite as close as what he has been, so he's not having quite the opportunities, and as a result, things are slightly off. He's never been, it's hard to say anybody on the PGA Tour is not a good putter because they are, but he's not the strongest putter out there. He's the best ball striker out there, and he hits it close, and then he's going to play the percentages as far as he gives himself more chances, he's going to make more putts. So, that's the way it is. And putting has always been just like anything else. You're going to have good days and bad days. And I don't think he's had bad days. He's had some ones that he's not real good of, but he's still right around there, and that's all we can ask for.
Well, we're going to find out, and I know that's a bit of a obvious statement, but it's fun to find out. It's great to watch these guys play. It's great to see their swings, their ups and downs. I thoroughly enjoy it. And there's some names on the leaderboard that a lot of people have never heard of. There's some big names on the leaderboard too, and as you go down, there's more and more of them. Ludvig Åberg, Wyndham Clark, Jake Knapp, Cantlie, Tommy Fleetwood. All of them have a very, very great. Chris Goddard up. You look at Cameron Young. They all have just a great, great chance to win this golf tournament. But it is going to go to the top 50 after it's all over. So 20 of them get cut. And then we head over to Belle Reve. After that, East Lake. We're going to talk all about those courses and those tournaments in the shows upcoming next week. And let's pause though for a moment, because we talk about great names on leaderboards, and one of the greatest names in the history of the game had a birthday yesterday, August the 13th, the date of birth of one Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan. And I know, Bob, you have some information for us, a few nuggets, a little bit of things about Ben Hogan. We're working on getting a very, very, very well-known author who wrote a classic book about Ben Hogan. We're working on getting that person on the show coming up soon, and we'll do a little bit more talk in that regard. But for now, remembering Ben Hogan on the 13th, he had a birthday on the 13th, and a couple of days ago, and we want to make sure that we remember him. And I don't know. I met Ben Hogan, and actually saw him chipping golf balls. It's a long story. I'm not going to go into it and take the time, but I actually saw him chipping golf balls at a course where I was told to go to, in the Fort Worth area, because I was working at my corporate office, and the owners of the company knew that I was a golf nut. And they said, "Well, if you want a real treat, Ray," they gave me even a map, and they said, "Go here, turn here, go there, park right there, get out, don't look at anybody or say anything, and walk right over, and right over by this tree, we've been told that Ben Hogan is there chipping balls." Sure enough, I was there in about 12 or 15 minutes, and he was there. I didn't bother him. But on another occasion in Fort Worth, at the church that Ben Hogan attended, I was given a call again at work, and told, get over here now. Ben Hogan is coming into the church offices for a meeting of sorts, and he'll be here in a few minutes. Again, I was a few minutes away. I went in, and this time I was actually able to see him and say, Mr. Hogan, I'm Ray Adams, and I'm such a big fan and have followed your game for as long as I can remember. Thanks so much for giving us such great, great golf over the years. I said something like that. He was so gracious and not a big man, as everybody knows. Bob, go ahead.
I think the biggest thing that I remember about Ben Hogan is that he became his own mystique while he was living. And that was because he was stoic. He didn't have to announce himself. He didn't have to make explain much. And when he did speak, people listened. And they also made one of the greatest books with Herbert Warren Wynne, The Five Fundamentals of Golf. And that was a bestseller because they explain, he basically explained with the help of a great artist and stuff his ability to practice and what practice meant to the game. And he was an absolute incredible worker, probably overdid it more than anybody we probably will ever remember, but it worked for him. And I would just say it was just the most impressive years of in golf history for what he was able to do with what he was able to accomplish both before and after his tragic 1949 a car crash. And I think that he became sort of the up there on the Mount Rushmore, if you want to put him up there on Mount Rushmore. He was that kind of guy that didn't demand the attention, but he was became an incredible symbol of golf's best parts of the game. And he was an absolute stickler for rules and tradition. Wearing the white cap, very little color out there, basically. But what I also remember about him, the year he won the three jewels of the Grand Slam, going over to Carnoustie, one of the toughest golf courses on the Rota for the Open Championship, and winning at Carnoustie, his only appearance in the major in the Open Championship. Those things will stand out in my mind. As well as his ability just to craft golf clubs. And I used his golf clubs when I was a high school player. I thought it was one of the greatest blades I ever hit.
Unbelievable. Craig, I was told by a prominent golf fitting company. And by the way, speaking of fitting, let me just go right back to Scottie Scheffler for a minute. And with his putting issues, we'll call them, and let's see how he does as far as curing things. It looks like he had a great round. But Craig, I wanted to touch base with you, and then we'll get right back to Ben Hogan about fitting people with golf clubs. But what about we amateurs being fitted for a putter? Should we be fitted for a putter? Because I know putter fittings happen all over the place. And in any city you're in, folks, you want to get to your PGA professional and you want to find out about getting a putter fitting. If you're getting golf clubs, to be fitted to you, make sure you add the putter fitting as well. Otherwise, if you're having some putting woes and you're looking for a new putter, well, obviously you want to go to touredge.com for that. You can go to TourEdge and they have just an amazing new putter. But what about getting fitted for a putter, Craig, for amateur players?
I think it's just as important as anything else. If you're the type of golfer that values your golf game, getting fit putter is just like getting fit for irons, wedges, driver, or anything like that. There are some people that would say they don't. That's not where they're going to spend their money for. But if it's like a nice suit or a dress or anything like that. If you want it to look great and get the most optimal out of things, then I think getting fit for a putter is a necessity.
All right. So back to Ben Hogan. I was told by a fitter who worked for a prominent fitting company that for decades, golf club manufacturers made golf clubs in standard lengths based on Ben Hogan's fingertip to ground. And of course, he was a smaller man, although he had forearms like Popeye, and he had very strong hands when I shook his hand many years ago. But he was clearly an extremely athletic person, even in his older age when I met him. And yet, to use a Ben Hogan fingertip to ground length for a standard length of, say, a 9 iron or something, and then make all the clubs, relative to that. No wonder fitting companies emerged and came out, because those clubs would be too short for me, wouldn't they?
Depends on your arm length and everything else.
Well, yeah, but
I mean
you.
that's the part that Henry Griffiths and Ping, when they started all that, I mean that's
Yep.
part of their fitting for those kind of things. So
Yep. They pioneered all of that. And Henry Griffiths is still around.
if you have short legs and long arms, you might need short clubs. I mean it short arms and long legs, you might need long clubs, even though you're 5'9". So that's why you get fit, because they can tell you those things and get you to see those things.
Absolutely, folks. Go get fitted. Pick your company, pick your wherever, but get fitted. And you can get fitted for Tour Edge golf clubs in any number of hundreds and hundreds of locations around the country. Go to touredge.com and find out how you can be fitted for a set of Tour Edge clubs. And even the putter, you could get specifications for that. I know that there are many other companies that do the fitting. They have fitting systems. And you can go to your local big sporting goods like Scheels and Dick's and others, and they've got fitting systems for all different sorts of brands. I advocate Tour Edge, of course, but you can go ahead and do whatever you need to do. Make sure you get fitted. Well, Ben Hogan's birthday, Bob, I'll give you the final word on that, but you're right. He likely would be on a, I guess he would be on a Mount Rushmore of golf. I know we've talked about this. On again, off again. I've always said it would be Nicholas Woods, Jones, Bobby Jones. And then that fourth one is always really up in the air there.
That's Arnold Palmer for my money.
It would be Arnold Palmer, likely, because he created golf into the global phenomena that it is today by his mere presence, personality. His just everything about Arnold Palmer made golf popular. So it would have to be Palmer, I think, too. Craig, do you have a fourth one on there other than any of those four?
No, not really.
If you're going to add a fifth one, though, it's got to be Ben Hogan, I would think. All right. Back to the leaderboard. It's St. Jude's, folks. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. This is really the go low tournament. Who wins it, Craig? If we're going to go way out on a limb, for the weekend here, who wins it?
Let's just pick somebody out of nowhere and let's say Tommy Fleetwood.
You really think Tommy Fleetwood will come back?
No, but it's somebody different. Let's go ahead and pick him. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So Craig, well, Craig's going to go with Tommy. Bob, what do you make of it?
I still like I like shot Scotty coming up the ranks for this one. I think he has a shot at it, and I really we've never been very good on our predictions
No.
for the last few weeks on when we go into this, but I would say it doesn't hurt to have Scotty up there right now making a run on before the weekend.
I would presume he's going to be there like he always is.
Yeah.
But I really like I like Ludvig Åberg. Let's see if Ludvig can pull this out. If Scotty does, of course, everybody will love it. He's our marquee player, our household name, and the number one player on the earth. I think Sungjae is not going away though, but that'll be a little bit of some golf talk that we'll have, and we
Mm-hmm.
can look forward to the weekend on that. We're going to go away for a break, folks, and these are some great golf products that you definitely want to have a listen. And when we come back, we've got some more golf to talk about because there's other events and schedules happening. So we will get through that with Dr. Bob Denny and Mr. Craig Renshaw and yours truly, your humble correspondent. I will be back in just a moment.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back to Great American Golf, everybody. Ray Adams here with you. Don't forget to go to thegolfnewsnet.com. That is the massive golfers platform of 2 million people per month that go to that platform. Ryan Ballingy does such an amazing job as a golf journalist and host and purveyor of the Golf News Net website. Go there. You'll find my shows there. You'll find television there, radio there. You'll find really everything you need at thegolfnewsnet.com. And I'm joined again by Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw. We will continue to talk golf. I want to mention a fun and very, very, very cool product. One of my favorite products of the year from the PGA Merchandise Show last January. I've been talking about the Water Weasel. The Water Weasel Retriever is just a wonderful product, and you're going to want to get one. You want to go to waterweaselretriever.com, waterweaselretriever.com. Why do they call it the water weasel? Well, because they have a patented way with a 12-inch reach extending pole that goes into the water after your ball. And it has a patented head on it where you're going to have a wheel that turns, and it not just takes your ball out of the water, but it also takes a number of balls out of the water. So you can fetch your golf ball and you can fetch other golf balls because the water weasel says we fetch balls better. It's a revolutionary head design, folks. You want to go to waterweaselretriever.com. Larry and the whole crew over there, a family-owned business, would love for you to go there. And if you get over there, you can put Ray 20 in there. And I believe you're going to get a very nice discount. So try that and go to waterweaselretriever.com. All right, we're back, guys, and appreciate everybody having a look at those wonderful golf products and during our break time. We've got a U.S. amateur happening. Bob, take us through it. What's happening over there?
Well, we have 8 quarterfinalists set up for to head into this Saturday semifinals. Semifinals on Saturday will be at 2 and 2:30. Among those 8 quarterfinalists vying for the spot are a guy by the name of Michael Lugiano of Philadelphia, Liberty University. And he is the first Golf Association of Philadelphia representative since 1996 when Buddy Marucci was facing in the tournament, and he lost to Tiger Woods in 1995, if people remember Buddy. But it's quite a nice accomplishment for these youngs. But the oldest guy on the quarterfinalist, 22 years old, you know, and one of them is from Morocco via Texas Tech, Adam Bresnew. And so it's a long list of great college players who have been very just playing tremendously in their own ranks. So that when you get to the U.S. Amateur, you're seeing them juggling around, and I would just say it's just amazing to see the talent at that level. And there's some outstanding golf being played if people can tune in and watch the U.S. Amateur.
Well, we've had so many great U.S. amateurs over the decades, and the champions have many of them gone on to become LPGA and PGA Tour players. We could go through the list of some of the great PGA Tour players over the decades. And when you look at their resume, you see they were a U.S. amateur champion. And it's a great event, and it's well, it's an old event, and it's an event that I think you're going to want to follow this week. All right, let's have a look at some schedules. How are the ladies doing, Bob? Let's start with you on that one.
They're currently in the Portland Classic, and the leaderboard right currently is having a woman from Thailand, Ubal, Archa Chea. I'm trying to Arpa Chea Ubal. I'm trying to pronounce that right. She's chased by two Americans, Mariel Galdiano, formerly of UCLA, and Yelimi No, who we remember from who's played very well in the last few weeks, including the majors. Mario Galdiano joined the LPGA last year, and she's played in three U.S. Opens prior to college.
All right, the ladies are playing there. And what are we doing with the Champions Tour? Because we're coming into the end of the summer. We have a big Schwab Cup Championship coming up in November, and I'll be talking more about that. We will get the executive director of the Schwab Cup Championship. We'll get Tiffany Nelson on with us, and she is such a wonderful, wonderful, hardworking professional. Everybody that knows Tiffany knows that she's one of the hardest working people, and she puts on the Schwab Cup Championship and does an amazing job. Tiffany will join us, and she always brings a nice gift for one or two very, very fortunate listeners. We'll do that in the future coming up, but right now they're going to be heading into their playoffs soon. Where are they at this week? I don't know, Craig, if you had a chance to look. Otherwise, Bob.
I believe they're in Washington, I would believe, if they're in the Boeing Classic. That would be my guess right now. The club at, I don't know how you pronounce that. Boy, that's a tough one for me.
Actually, that tournament ended. It
Is the Boeing over?
was on August 11th. It was the final day, and
Okay.
Stephen Ames won it. And they won't be playing till August 16th at the Rogers Charity Classic in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yep, that's over, and they're
All
going to
right.
be they got a little bit of time coming up. So that's what's going on with the Champions Tour. I did not have that in front of me. I depended on you two gentlemen. That one I did not have in front of
Yeah,
me.
that one on my computer says the 14th through the 16th.
Well, all right. We've got different schedules, but hey folks, we'll keep you informed. Don't worry. And if we make a mistake, we'll tell you we did, and then we can figure it out. All right, very good. Now, LIV Golf. Let's have a little short discussion here. I read an article where John Rahm is looking like he's leaving LIV. He will be jumping ship likely. We know that other players have. We know that LIV is on a shoestring budget. But we also know that it was announced there's a new investor, Bob. Can you tell us any more about it?
First of all, I'd like to apologize to Craig and everybody, but the Boeing Classic is being played this week, and it's my fault. It's August 14th at Snoqualmie Ridge in Washington. So it has not been played yet. And today, Friday was the opening round of the 54-hole event. So, Craig, my apologies. And
Oh, no issues.
I just jumped in ahead of it.
Well, we get it corrected. That's what I said. Hey, we can
Right.
make mistakes over here. I didn't have it up in front of me. It was one of the things on the on one of my monitors. I didn't, so I wasn't sure. Go
And
ahead.
the dates weren't very good on my end, obviously.
All
So I
right.
apologize.
Okay,
But
14, 14, 15, and 16 at Snoqualmie Ridge
Stephen
in
Ames is the
Snoqualmie,
defending
Washington.
champion.
There you go. Now there you go.
Thank
All
you.
right. So loads going on there. From there, they head over to Rogers Charity up in Calgary. They go to
Right.
Warwick Hills in Grand Blanc, Michigan. What a wonderful tradition Warwick Hills Golf and Country Club has. Then they go to Minnehaha in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I love these names. Then they head to Pebble Beach, on to Lehigh Country Club in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then they've got Prestonwood, Norwood Hills, Pleasant Valley. So they go to North Carolina, Missouri, Arkansas, and then the Schwab Cup Championship
Right,
occurs right
right.
here in Phoenix, Arizona. So there's a quick look at the schedule. I found my Champions Tour and called it up. There we go.
Okay.
All right, let's get back to LIV. Jon Rahm says, or it's rumored, he's going to be leaving. We know other great ones have. LIV has been on its last leg here quite a while. Folks have said live and let die after the James Bond movie. But they have a new investor and apparently the infusion of some money. Bob, what do you know about it?
Only what is reported, and what is reported is very little information saying that the investor, according to Bloomberg, is in a position of more of a rescue loan for the LIV Golf at this period of time. What the big news is obviously that departure of star player Jon Rahm is most likely at the end of this current season, and that will dictate a lot about where some of this funding, the excitement, the viewerships, whatever all the packages that go with it with LIV. But that's currently what the buzz is right now. That is what we can say because it's been out there. And but as far as LIV Golf's future, I just have a feeling that Alfred Hitchcock really did it pretty well when he wrote the book Lifeboat.
You know what? I've seen the movie Lifeboat. That is a bit of a thriller. And what an enactment by the one actor
Yeah,
there.
that's quite
Anyway,
the script.
yeah, we they are in a lifeboat. Craig, I can't wait for the answer to this question from Craig Renshaw, folks. All right, get ready, everybody. Get your seatbelts on. Does anybody care about LIV Golf, Craig?
If you're playing on the tour, you do.
In other words, the players out there on LIV Golf on the LIV Golf Tour, they care about it. But I'm talking about the fans, the folks. Do
I think
we
some
care
people
about
do. I
this?
mean, I think some people do. I mean, it's golf. It's being played. Is it drawing a ton? I have these conversations with friends and coworkers. The part that we only see right now is in America right now. And what we don't know is LIV was going to be a global tour. LIV is a global tour. They're all over the place. We do not know what they're being done other places. That's all we can say. So I don't know. Do I think that it's the word I would use is it reached everybody that they hoped it would be? No, I don't think it has. Is PIF pulling out? Yes. Is it everything they thought it would be? No. Is it everything that I thought they really wanted? No. Like I said, I've said this for since the beginning. This is not what LIV wanted. They did not want this. They did not want a big super tour like this. They didn't. And they, with
Well,
Greg and everybody else,
but
this is
Craig,
where they pushed to. So.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm doing it. Forgive me because I want to drill down. When you say they didn't want it, how are they not going to become a big tour when you had the likes of DeChambeau and Rahm and Sergio and so many other big names that went over? Call it going over to the dark side. Call it being, traitor to the PGA Tour. Call it a great move, legacy money for your family for generations to come. Call it another exciting way to see golf, a new, different way to look and see and feel golf. Okay, you could call it whatever you want. You could like it or dislike it, but how did they expect that they weren't going to be a big global tour?
Because we're just one part, the America is just one small piece of it. That's my point.
Well, I know, but they're playing golf in places all over the world, and they've got some of the world's biggest names that went
Correct.
over.
But
You would.
that's what I'm saying. But that's not what they wanted. Some of the names. They wanted all the names. They were looking to do this like, hey, we're going to put on an all-star game six times a year, and they're going to leave eight times a year, and they're going to go and still play in your majors and play all this other sports. That's what they wanted. I'm convinced of that. They did not
So
want to
you think
go.
Greg Norman, when all this started, and with the Saudi investment fund, public, what is it, the public investment fund or whatever, the Saudi money, do you think that Greg Norman believed that the players could toggle back and forth between the two tours? You think he believed that would be?
And the part that
I want to
people don't
ask him that
understand,
question.
what people don't understand is that these golf tournaments will go off, whether it's LIV or anything. The PGA Tour is a middleman. They are a middleman. Okay? The Waste Management and the Phoenix Open could put on this golf tournament for the exact same amount of money. The PGA Tour is a middleman, and they get the TV contracts, and they package them all together. That's what the PGA Tour does. The PGA Tour does very little except that's the part, and it still may come out this way, but they're still trying to battle the thing about, oh, they're independent contractors, yet they got to ask for permission to go somewhere else. There's still a lot of problems out there with the PGA Tour right now.
Oh yeah.
And those problems have not gone away, whether you're playing for $30 million or not.
Well,
those
Rory
problems
McIl
are still out there.
Rory McIlroy said that there are issues with the PGA
Yes.
Tour that are unresolved. And he said he's going to be looking at his life, his private life, his personal life, his professional schedule, playing in golf tournaments. He's going to be minding that very carefully because there are still some serious issues on the PGA Tour. Now, that came out of Rory McIlroy's mouth, Bob.
I mean,
and
why did Ray?
Go ahead.
Why did the Skins game start up?
Why did it start? You talk about the silly season?
Yep.
Well, they wanted to attract the big names in the fall.
For a lot of money. They
and
put
a lot
a
of
lot
money.
Of people out there.
Right.
And it wasn't, yes, the PGA Tour got a piece of their pie, but none of those people cared. It wasn't a full field event. It was a select field. We'll do the Skins game. We'll do these little shark shootouts. It was all just to get the good players together. We're not having any tournaments right now. We can charge an exorbitant fee. We'll give all this money to one player. And they loved it. That's what it's about. And they could still run these tournaments just like that. The PGA Tour is, like I said, is a middleman. That's all they are.
Well, they're a platform for golf, and they put out a product for fans and sponsors that pay big money to get their name associated with golf. I'm getting ready to have a guest on to talk about the history of the connection of Cadillac with golf. And we know that Cadillac has been a major sponsor of golf for decades, and there have been others, and they come and go, of course, but the tour's job is to put out a entertainment product, and that's all it is, folks. Golf is a sport. I think it's more of a skill than it is a sport, but let's call it a sport. And it has entertainment value. All sports have entertainment value. That is what they are there for. You can latch on to your favorite team. You can wear the shirts and the hats. You can root for your team. You can have team, watch parties where everybody gets together, and watches a football game or the baseball games or the hockey, basketball, what have you, and golf. And all of sports are entertainment value. Now, are there some more things about sports that we can derive from? Can we get things? Can we get morals? Can we get team play? Can we get sportsmanship? Can we get lessons for life from sports? We can, and we do. But 98.9% of it is entertainment, Bob. Where am I going wrong?
I think you also put out in the element of charitable contributions to
Well,
this
of course.
community.
I
That
forgot.
that's what
Yeah,
golf
thank
that's
you.
what keep golf keeps golf afloat, and sports especially out of the
Well,
certain tax brackets for the
and all
government,
the sports,
with the U.S. government.
all of the sports and leagues have charitable foundations. I know the NFL, they give millions in the NBA. We could go on and on.
But
Baseball.
I
Go
look,
ahead,
using the
Craig.
waste management as an example, I believe the Thunderbirds donate that money. Now, the PGA Tour claims it, but the PGA Tour isn't the one that's donating it. The Thunderbirds run that event.
The money is collected by the Thunderbirds and they donate the money to charitable organizations around Phoenix, Arizona. Correct. And they've been doing it for what, 80, 70, 80 years? More.
Before there was
Something.
TV, they were doing this.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yes. Oh, yes.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
The Phoenix Open has, and I don't know if there's another tournament on tour that has donated more to charitable organizations, but I know that the Phoenix Open certainly is right up there as being maybe one of the largest donors ever. We know that the PGA Tour claims over, and this was a few years ago, we put out a number that they were talking about that they had donated over $1 billion to charitable organizations up to that point through raising money in various cities, but it's
There's
the
one other element that I'd
organizations.
like to bring up
Go,
is
Bob.
when you're a member of the gallery in watching golf, you're out there very, very close to the performers. You don't get to do that in other golf and other major sports. But what you do have in golf is ability to follow, see the skills if you're really into it from tee to green. And you get to see the amazing shots. You get to watch a lot of things. That's a lot of the attraction for following golf by foot. Okay.
Yes, and you're in the great outdoors, the open spaces, fresh air, having some fun doing it. Bob, that's a great point. You do get to get up close with the players. Other sports, you're up in bleachers and stands and stadiums and arenas, and you're, for the most part, far away from the players. And if you spend big money, you can get down closer, but you're usually never going to be as close as you can be to a PGA or an LPGA tour player, or for that matter, any tour in the world. All right, so back to LIV. It is a product of entertainment. It was designed to be different. Craig, you're saying that they didn't really think they were gonna or plan on being as big as they became. And I would love to ask this question of Greg Norman
I'd say,
because
well, but see, this is where the egos get. Greg has a super ego, which all those players do, but
well,
this
they
has
all
been
do.
his goal. And he never wanted to leave the PGA Tour, but he wanted to go off a few times a year and go do something, no offense, just like a major.
Global
Okay, the
golf,
majors
world
are
golf.
part of them, but they really weren't at a time. The Masters runs their own event. Okay, this is what he wanted. Like I said, I don't believe he wanted a tour. He wanted to do something. Yes, they call it a tour, whatever they want. This is how he wanted six, another eight events that they could just run on their own. They'd call it LIV and have special ones here, there, throughout the globe. And this is what they would do.
Well, it was Greg Norman's idea, and we've talked about this, but just a little bit of history to repeat ourselves for new listeners. Folks, Greg Norman wanted to have the World Golf Championships. That was his idea. Craig, you know that. Bob, you know the history. He wanted the World Golf Championships. So he went to the PGA Tour, and we're talking about back in the 90s, he did this 30 years ago or something, that he proposed World Golf Championships. So, what did the PGA Tour do, Craig? Tell us.
Well, they took over the events.
They
He
stole his
wanted,
idea and took it
yeah,
over.
that's what I mean. That's the ego, and that's where he got frustrated. They wouldn't take his phone calls a while ago. This is what has gotten there. And
And
then when Greg
he was ticked
raised
off
the
for
money,
30 years. He was ticked off for 30 years about that,
yep.
Bob.
And he made a deal with the devil. Okay.
I follow that. I have no additional commentary at this moment.
But this is how things get going. Like I said, I've met Greg twice. It's not something I have any inside knowledge, but I just don't believe that's why it was unique. It was different. This is what was going to make this unique and different. And they could have raised an event here, an event here. The PGA Tour already has events where they have two events on the same week that they could have scheduled an event, a live event over in Japan and ran their second event like they do already at Dorado Beach or Mexico, like they already have the competing event. They could have done all this. It could have been done. But nobody wanted to work together. So, okay.
No, and we've been over it and over it and over it. I mean, when Greg Norman talked to Jay Monahan, what is it, 3 years ago now, you're saying he did really expect to get what he got. I'm not surprised at all that he was given what he got from Jay Monahan, and that is territorial protection. Ego. What do you mean you're going to take players away from our tour and let them play in another tour in other golf courses in other places of the world? Well, no, you're not. And then the players started going over, and we know they went over because of big money or because they were irritated with the tour for some reason. Phil Mickelson opened his large mouth that spring and, let it all out. And that's it's all history and it's there to go back and look at and read about if you want to, folks. But the reality is Greg Norman wanted to put out a product like the World Golf Championships. It happened to become LIV, Bob, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and
And now Greg is gone.
we're just seeing the collateral damage when it comes right down to it. And I just think it. I think golf will survive. I just think it has to go through its own ups and downs and shaking, just like Wall Street. It just has its ups and downs, and I think all the game itself will be stronger down the road, but we're going to have to see how these changes affect viewership and sponsorship. Those are the two elements: viewership, sponsorship.
Well,
Sponsorship drives everything.
looking at the PGA Tour, get rid of LIV for a second. Think about the PGA Tour. Everything we've been told, everything that we've watched the PGA Tour over the last 45, 50 years. They're contracting events. They're losing sponsors. As I said a little while ago, you don't see where all their investments are coming from, where how much money they're putting in for next year. Their schedule has been finalized yet. Yet, because it's LIV, it's so bad that they're doing all this stuff. The PGA Tour is not releasing any of their stuff. So, how good is the PGA Tour right now? How secure is the PGA Tour?
I'm sure they think they're doing great, but Rory doesn't think so, does he?
Well, and the players have just as many complaints about the PGA Tour that they did. It's just not money. Well, okay. How much of these complaints when these players left was about money?
I don't know. I don't know that there's a second or third tier of PGA Tour players that are all excited about, the new formats and schedules that are coming, because many of them are not going to be able to get into the big money events, Bob.
That's true. The Challenger and the Championship Series, two different tiers right now. In fact, the FedEx St. Jude is going to survive, but by 2028, it will not be a part of the ch Championship Series. That's been
And
announced. That's been announced.
yeah, and Craig, I see still articles and questions from different platforms. Does the Korn Ferry Tour need to be anymore? In that we now have multiple layers, multiple levels of PGA Tour events. Do we still need the Korn Ferry Tour, or have we created a glorified Korn Ferry Tour by having the lower level, the lower tier? What do you
Well,
think, Craig?
I don't think we know because they're not telling anything. I mean, that's my point is that LIV is announcing things. I'm not saying they should be applauded, but they're doing things. The PGA Tour is not announcing anything yet. So, and I said this back when LIV said their schedule was going to be down and they might not have next year.
Well, where's the financing for the PGA Tour? Has that been announced yet for next year? No. So why is it big deal that they're announcing it, but the other one isn't? They're constricting jobs because they're going to have less events. Okay, is that good? And look at if it was Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, if they were closing restaurants, is that a good thing?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, so why are we thinking that the PGA Tour is in such great shape doing this?
Well, I mean, they're going to tell you they are because they have to do that. But the reality is that now you've got all of these other billions of dollars that have been invested into going forward on the PGA Tour. So many changes on the PGA Tour. And, of course, you've got a NFL, former NFL executive as the head of the PGA Tour now, the CEO. And, Rolap, and you've got all of his announcements. And it's been doling out a little bit. And a little bit and a little bit. And then I think they go back to the closed doors, Craig and Bob and my listeners here, everybody, they go back to the closed doors and then they think about what they just said and then they change it again or they add to it or subtract from. And then they come out however long later at another big event and they have a press conference and then they say, well, we're going to do this and this and that. And they go back behind the closed doors and they try to sort it out. Bob? What are they doing?
Well, from my point of view, they're trying to contract the tour so it won't interfere with football. That's what I'm watching.
Do you think it came from a former NFL executive that they needed to do that, or did they already know that?
I can't speculate, but I can just show you what they're doing. And and those leaks that you're getting out, those are leaks are coming from the sponsors themselves because they're frustrated. They don't want to be put into a lower tier. And that's what you're going to be hearing about and from time to time until it finally opens up and they finally give you a news conference that has announcements in it.
Craig, do you think that the PGA Tour knew that they were struggling with the schedule against the NFL, or do you think it came to bringing in the NFL executive as the CEO?
Oh, I think they've known they've been struggling. You know, it happens in baseball, too. You can hear about it in basketball. You can hear it about football. You hear it, the owners or the people that run these events, they'd sit there and say that the players have the power. Well, now the players have the power. Okay, mm-hmm. When Palmer and Nicklaus broke off from the PGA of America back in, what was it, 68 or something like that?
Yep.
Okay, they had to play a lot of events because they made no money. Some guys still had additional jobs. Sam Snead had an additional, Ben Hogan had a job after the tour during the season and stuff like that. Those guys did all these events to make money. Guess what? You can go on tour right now and these guys can make all this money. And guess what they're not going to do? They don't want to play that many events. Okay. Rory now has won so many events and he doesn't have to play the minimum anymore. Okay. Well, that's his advantage now. So the players have the power now, and they can get up. They have their jets, and they can go fly. So if somebody wants to pay them $20 million to go play in Saudi Arabia, that's where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it happening. It's happening in all the sports. It doesn't make it bad, but the PGA Tour still wants their control because they have to sell a TV package. Mm-hmm. And to sell a TV package, that means you're going to have so many good players at an event. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That isn't happening anymore. It was supposed to happen because you had the signature events. Guess what? They're not following the directions anymore. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I'm going to give you the final word, 15, 20 seconds. Craig, final word on the show today. I'm going to be talking about a few of our wonderful sponsors here in a moment, and then the show will be finishing. But you're first, Craig. What's your final word for the folks?
Enjoy the heat. Enjoy the golf that's out there right now. And I think it's a great time to be out there.
And go get a putter fitting.
Yep.
Bob, final word.
If you're going to watch golf, watch the oldest golf tournament in the country. It's the U.S. Amateur. It predates the U.S. Open by one day.
And you're going to be seeing future PGA Tour players, Korn Ferry, and then on to the PGA Tour from a number of these U.S. Amateur young men that are out there playing in the tournament. Yeah, that's a great tip. And thanks for that. All right, Bob Denny, there he is. Craig Renshaw, there he is. And folks, I thank both of you gentlemen for being with us. And folks, I'm going to give you a couple of sponsors' words. You know, Ashworth Golf Apparel is truly, truly some of the most beautiful golf apparel that you can wear. It is made for the golf course for you to play well. It is made with great colors, great fabrics, great looks for you to be stylish. It is made to be comfortable. It is made to be worn everywhere you go, not just the golf course. Folks, I'm telling you now, if you want to be a part of golf history, then you want to be wearing Ashworth Golf Apparel. All right. So make sure you get to Ashworth, Ash Golf, and you are going to find out all of the season's greatest colors, fabrics, styles, and the apparel that you're going to want. Shirts, vests, slacks, everything, all there at the Ashworth website. I thank them so very much for it's an honor for me to be an ambassador and to wear Ashworth, talk about Ashworth, to get to know John Ashworth. The founder, he brought it all back. My wonderful friend, the CEO, Andy Bell, and all of the folks that are at Ashworth Golf Apparel, they do an amazing job of putting out, I think, the greatest golf apparel on the market. It's Ashworth Golf Apparel, and it's history, folks. I also want to thank one of our, they're renewing their sponsorship and coming back into my Anthem only segment. I advertised for Postnet here in Anthem for a number of years. And then we took a little break for, I think, a year or two. And now Lanny is coming back. Lanny and Linda are coming back, the owners of the local Postnet right here in Anthem, Arizona. Anthem, a community just north of Phoenix, and a large community. And this Postnet, by the way, is in consistently in the top 10 to 20 of the Postnets all over the USA. So if you're in the Phoenix area and you want to come up to Postnet in Anthem, you're going to come into one of the busiest. And one of the Postnets that does literally everything you could imagine that you need, everything. And I'm going to be having the owner of this Postnet on in my Anthem Only segment on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. So you'll be listening to him and learning more about Postnet. And I also want to encourage you in my Anthem Only sponsors and those companies that are with me, that you'll hear more about those companies in my Monday Golf Lifestyle Show and well, all of these shows, you hear about them. Keep your dollars local, folks. Draw a 3-mile circle around your house, whatever city you live in, wherever you are, not just Anthem. It's for you in Schaumburg, Illinois, up in Seattle, Washington, down in Miami, or whatever small town, wherever you are. Draw a 3 or 4 mile circle around your house and try to keep your dollars local to the restaurants and the professional services and the medical services and to the businesses that are in that 3 or 4 mile radius around your house. When you do that, you bolster your economy, you provide more dollars for charitable organizations, the schools and the kids. And the businesses, of course. Everybody can thrive when we keep our dollars local. Let's do that. Part of my Anthem Only segment, and we're going to be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Make sure you have just a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Watch some great golf, and make sure you think about those sponsors that you heard during the break and some of the ones that I've mentioned today, like Squares, like Tour Edge, like the Water Weasel, waterweaselretriever.com, Ashworth Golf Apparel, Postnet, and there are so many other great ones. I'll mention Certifresh Cigar at certifreshcigar.com as well, one of my great longtime sponsors. Get out and play some golf. You want to go to the Legacy Golf Resort, golflegacyresort.com, Canyon Mesa up in Sedona. I was there and posted a great video on my Facebook. You want to go to Match Play TV, and you'll see that video of me up at Canyon Mesa with the director of golf, Willie Dark, a fellow Michigander, on my Facebook site. Go to Match Play TV for my Facebook, my Instagram, and my big YouTube channel with so many TV episodes, so many videos from the PGA shows, featuring various PGA merchandise show products. They're all there. Match Play TV on all three sites. One word, all small letters, Match Play TV. All right, folks, have a great weekend. A lot of golf. Back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.